Hello, and thanks for joining us for our special Chicago Tonight coverage of the Democratic National Convention. I'm Brandis Friedman. Day two of the convention got off to an energetic start with a raucous roll call. Then, Illinois Democrats took center stage with Governor J.B. Pritzker and Senator Tammy Duckworth in primetime spots, all culminating with the former first couple, Barack and Michelle Obama, capping off the night. Barack Obama's speech came 20 years after his fateful 2004 keynote speech and 16 years after accepting the nomination for his first presidential bid. Our own Nick Blumberg was there. Nick, what is it like in the United Center tonight besides loud?
Certainly loud, and as you can tell, it is packed in here. A lot of energy tonight. People were very excited, as you can no doubt guess, for the former president's speech. Basically standing room only on the floor out there. The former president echoing some familiar themes, coming out saying he is fired up and ready to go, even though, as he puts it, he's the only guy dumb enough to come out and talk after Michelle Obama got the crowd all ready to go. Now, the former president tonight, said he echoed some of what he had in the 2004 keynote that you mentioned, referring to himself as a skinny kid with a funny name who nonetheless got a chance in the United States. He also spent quite a bit of time lauding his former Vice President Joe Biden, who obviously had a very celebratory moment at the convention last night. Obama said when the Republicans have become a cult of personality, Biden did the rare thing in politics. He put his ambition aside.
The torch has been passed. Now it is up to all of us to fight for the America we believe in. And make no mistake, it will be a fight. For all the incredible energy we've been able to generate over the last few weeks, for all the rallies and the memes, this will still be a tight race in a closely divided country. The people who will decide this election are asking a very simple question. Who will fight for me?
Now, Obama said former President Trump is not losing any sleep at night over that question, calling his 4 years in office a bad movie full of chaos and blunders, and saying the sequel would be even worse. Now, he heaped praise on Vice President Harris, saying she understands the challenges that Americans are facing. But he also had a lot of praise for the vice presidential candidate, Tim Walz, even getting in a pretty solid dad.
He knows who he is, and he knows what's important. You can tell those flannel shirts he wears don't come from some political consultant. They come from his closet, and they have been through some stuff.
The former First Lady, she had the crowd on its feet and cheering many, many times during her speech. But she started on a quieter, more personal note, asking folks if they had been feeling the kind of sense of dread about politics that she had been. She also noted this is the first time she's been back in her hometown since she had to lay her beloved mother, Marian Robinson, to rest. She also compared her mother's values and Kamala Harris's mother, saying the two women shared a lot, even though they grew up an ocean apart. She used those values to turn her speech into a message of hope, another familiar rhetorical theme for the Obamas, imploring the audience to do all they can to help get Harris and Walz elected. She also took some digs at the fact that Trump has, as she said, had opportunity after opportunity, the kind that other Americans, particularly women of color, might not get.
She understands that most of us will never be afforded the grace of failing forward. We will never benefit from the affirmative action of generational wealth. If we bankrupt a business, or choke in a crisis, we don't get a second, third, or fourth chance.
We also also heard from Senator Tammy Duckworth, Governor J.B. Pritzker. We'll talk about that coming up, as well as some clear speakers that were trying to draw a contrast with last month's RNC. That's up in Spotlight Politics. But for now, Brandis, back to you.
All right, Nick, thanks. We'll check in with you later on in the program for Spotlight Politics, as you said. But now we go to Amanda Venicky, who is also inside United Center, where she's been covering tonight's events. Amanda.
Yes, Brandis, heading into tonight, Vice President Kamala Harris was already Democrats' presidential nominee. The party had done it early to avoid any potential legal risk with making it official. But tonight they did the traditional roll call. They mixed it up a little bit, though, with a DJ literally playing state-specific tunes. Fittingly for an event here at the United Center, Illinois was introduced with the same song that the championship Chicago Bulls were back in the 90s.
The Prairie State, home of four presidents, including President Barack Obama. Illinois casts one vote present and 176 votes for the next president of the United States, future Madam President Kamala Harris!
Governor J.B. Pritzker made it onto the big screen then, but his true moment was a primetime speech just after 8:30 this evening. He began by welcoming his fellow Democrats to Chicago, and then he touched on Illinois' connections to former presidents Abraham Lincoln and Barack Obama.
Now, Illinois' presidential pedigree is unmatched. And given that Vice President Kamala Harris spent some of her early life right here, I speak for the entire Illinois delegation when I say we claim her too.
I talked with the governor on Friday, and his speech was really already prepared then. He was just fine-tuning it. He said that he wanted to focus on bragging about Illinois, so check there. But he said he also wanted to focus on the importance of electing Harris.
We have a choice, America, between the man who left our country a total mess and the woman who has spent 4 years cleaning it up. And I think it's time we stop expecting women to clean up messes without the authority and the title to match the job.
And he wanted to focus on the importance of beating Trump. He called the Republican nominee weird, dangerous, and cruel.
Trump thinks that we should trust him on the economy because he claims to be very rich. But take it from an actual billionaire. Trump is rich in only one thing. Stupidity!
Pritzker is tossing that cash around he has in order to win the office of governor, but now more recently, he's among those who contributed $95 million to help put on this convention. When I spoke with the governor, I asked him repeatedly, how much did he donate to the DNC cause? And he didn't want to say, just that he was not the top donor, and he believes that having the DNC in the city is going to bring a lot of economic benefit to Chicago and to Illinois. Also, the governor going to be paying to throw a private concert that should be getting started anytime now that the DNC has adjourned for the night. He'll be paying to bring in John Legend, a Grammy Award-winning artist, to Chicago's Salt Shed. Pritzker saying that he expects about 1,000 people to attend. When I asked him why John Legend, he tossed the question back to me and said, who doesn't like John Legend's music? But Pritzker says it's also because Legend believes in the Democratic cause. Brandis, over to you.
All right, Amanda, it sounds like fun for the folks who are going. We'll check in with you again later on in the program. But first, now some reaction to how Democrats fared on night two of their convention. We're joined again by Karen Freeman Wilson, president and CEO of the Chicago Urban League, and she's the former mayor of Gary, Indiana. And Richard Porter, a Chicago attorney who was a member of the Republican National Committee from 2014 until last month. So 10 years, because math. Thanks again to both of you for sticking with us. So first, let's get your reaction to what you heard this evening and what stood out to you. Richard Porter, let's start with you, please.
Well, I was really struck by how the rhetoric was coming from the heart of kind of American culture. And it was very, I think, mainstream. But at the same time, it's discordant with the policies that the administration has been pursuing over the last 4 years, which has really stabbed America in the back. With the open borders, kind of the lax criminal enforcement, and then also making us more unsafe. You think about things like how we withdrew from Afghanistan, you know, weakening us in the on the world stage. And so, to me, there's a real disconnect between the two. And the other thing I'd note is that the administration spent almost $1 trillion on the Green New Deal, and there was only one mention of that in passing by any of the speakers tonight. And I think, again, it shows because that was a policy that didn't work and that was wrong for America, trying to force people out of their cars and into electric cars.
Karen Freeman Wilson.
I thought it was really significant that we heard about a joyful warrior from the person who probably knows her the best, her husband. I also thought it was important that we heard from two very trusted Americans, President Barack and First Lady Michelle Obama. They talked about not only their knowledge of who Kamala Harris is, because that's important to define her this week, but they also talked about what this country needed and what we needed to do as Americans, as those who love this country and who love freedom.
I feel like we have to talk about the roll call. Because it was interesting. What were your thoughts?
Oh, my goodness. Little John on the roll call?
Surprising, yes.
Yeah, no, it was lively. It was inspiring or inspirational. And I thought the number of women, the number of firsts, Lottie Shackelford as an example, and other women who were in their roll call, in the roll calls of their states. Yeah, participating. I thought it was really significant.
Richard Porter, your thoughts on the roll call?
I thought it was a waste of time, so I was glad to see him do it. I mean, it was fun for junkies, right? And so I got a kick out of that. I think they did a nice bit of color around it, you know, with all the music and all that. So if you're going to do it, they did it well.
Did you not think maybe it was sort of, I mean, fun for the junkies, right? Like the three of us who watch it and others like us. But did you not think maybe it was a way to pull in people who might not find a political convention very entertaining or interesting?
I don't think so, because I think if people are tuning in, they want to find out more about Kamala Harris. Again, I think so much of this is geared toward the base. I think the speeches toward the end, Doug Emhoff's speech was particularly effective, and Michelle Obama would just rock the house. But again, from my perspective, it was just so disconnected from the reality of how the Democrats govern. I think the main question Americans are going to decide on this fall is, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? Are you safer today than you were 4 years ago? And I think that the answer to that is no. And I think that's why Donald Trump will come through in this election.
All right. More to come in a little bit. With the two of you in Spotlight Politics with the rest of the team. But thanks to Richard Porter and Karen Freeman Wilson. Now we're going to go back inside the United Center. And our Amanda Venicky, who is with one of the state's top leaders, Tim Drea, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO.
Yes, thanks so much for joining us, Tim Drea. I want to talk to you first about just the union vote. There's a lot of talk about it's up for grabs this election. Oh, yeah. We had, after all, at the Republicans' convention in Milwaukee, the president of the Teamsters right. Union. How up for grabs is the rank and file union vote?
You know, the vote is really always up for grabs. And you know, it's our responsibility to educate union members about the issues of what's going on out there with, you know, just lay the issues out and let people decide what they want to do. I mean, it just, we don't tell anybody how to vote. We just say, here are the issues, that your economic issues. What do you think?
What is changing, though? What is it? Is it the economy? What about, is it President Trump and a message that he has that's resonating with some of your members?
You know, I think a lot of times it's the economy, it's social issues, it's, you know, guns and things like that. So, you know, we're in Illinois, we're 900,000 members. We're going to have a lot of 900,000 different opinions. So we're trying to, you know, just concentrate on the economic issues, you know, wages, healthcare, pension.
So, Cher, for those, you're here at the Democratic National Convention. A lot of union leaders are sponsors. I talked earlier about Governor Pritzker, you know, donating to the DNC, and a lot of unions have contributed as well. Why? What is it about the policies?
It's very, very important. I mean, you know, again, we really concentrate on putting people to work, prevailing wages, making sure people have affordable health care, making sure they have a pension. And, you know, most importantly, what we do is somebody leaves for shift in the morning, we want to make sure they return home at night. We think that the Biden-Harris administration lays out the best record for that.
I was wondering if you could briefly address, we had the president of the UAW speak at the DNC last evening, wore this Trump is a scab shirt, but also talked about a plant in Illinois that's set to receive both federal and state funding, talking about a possibility of a strike. Well, where do you stand on this?
Well, we would want to see that the promises made are promises kept. And you know, if they agreed to it in a collective bargaining agreement, they need to live up to their promise.
So this is, again, the Stellantis plant in Belvidere. Thank you so much once again. That is President of Illinois' AFL-CIO, Tim Gray.
Thank you, Amanda. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thanks, Amanda. And after the break, our whole team is back with more takeaways from night two of the DNC. Don't go anywhere.
Chicago Tonight is made possible in part by the Alexandra and John Nichols family, the Jim and Kay Mabee family, the Polk Brothers Foundation, and the support of these donors.
And joining us once again is our Spotlight Politics team, Amanda Venicky, Heather Sharone, and Nick Blumberg, along with our studio guests, Chicago Urban League President Karen Freeman Wilson and former Republican National Committeeman from Illinois, Richard Porter. Thanks, everybody, for sticking around. So, Heather, let's start with you, please, in the protests, because protesters and police, they clashed outside the Israeli consulate about a mile from the United Center. What happened there?
Well, this was a protest that was not permitted by the city. It was a group that's been calling itself Behind Enemy Lines, and they say they wanted to take the fight that is happening in Gaza to the streets of Chicago, but the police blocked them from moving. When that happened, several scuffles erupted. Several dozen people were arrested, perhaps as many as five dozen. They have been taken to Belmont and Western, where a special courtroom has been set up to process those arrests quickly, so we will know more in the morning, and we will have a story on our website as soon as possible. It does not seem as if there were serious injuries, and we were able to hear Chicago Police Superintendent Larry Snelling, who was present during the incident, praising his officers for their restraint. And this was the group that city officials had told me and others that they were most worried about, because they seemed to relish a confrontation as opposed to the groups that have protested up until this point, following mostly the city's rules. So we'll have to see tomorrow what sort of the legal situation for those protesters and perhaps some members of the independent press are now facing.
All right, Heather, thank you. Amanda, one thing that we heard during the roll call that made our ears perk up, Illinois cast all but one of the state's delegation for Vice President Harris. One present vote. What was that about?
Brandis? My ears perked up at that, too, and I'm afraid that I don't have a good answer, and I want to be really upfront about that, because we have been asking the questions, including with prominent members of Illinois' delegation and the Democratic Party of Illinois that really has organized this whole shindig. We got a press release August 5th. That's when the digital vote that I referenced earlier was finalized, that Illinois had unanimously backed Harris. Lo and behold, then tonight we heard when Pritzker, I admit that he wasn't going to be glad to say that he cast all but one of the votes for the Harris-Walz ticket. Again, I've been asking the questions. I don't have any good answers, just a lot of rumors, and we don't report on those.
Okay, well, I'm sure we will learn more about it since the team is asking the good questions, naturally. And we did see that a couple of times tonight as well when folks had to cast a vote or cast some votes as present. They kind of whispered it into the microphone. So, Nick, we also heard from a retired Teamster earlier. What was his message on stage tonight?
Well, he was out there talking about these actions that the Biden-Harris administration, you know, with the support of Congress, took in order to ensure that, you know, retired union members maintained their pensions. Now, this is clearly an effort to push back on the Teamsters president, Sean O'Brien, who spoke at the RNC last month and has gotten a lot of blowback from some of his members. We also heard from one of the U.S. senators from Michigan, who is saying he grew up in a union household. He brought out a whole raft of union members out onto stage. So clearly the message here is to say, listen, you might have heard from a prominent union leader at the RNC, but the Democrats are still the party of labor, and that the Biden-Harris administration has taken action to protect retired union members and their livelihoods, you know, for so long as they may be with us.
Karen Freeman Wilson, you know, we let's talk about the messaging a little bit, because there's been a lot of focus on a couple of things. One on abortion access and reproductive health services, and a bit also on Project 2025. What do you think are the winning issues here for Democrats?
You know, when you dissect the almost 900 pages, I believe, of 2025, you find some frightening things. You find threats to Medicare and Medicaid. You find threats to educational freedom. You find the threats to reproductive freedom. And I think the best evidence of the imminent danger posed by 2025 is that you had a lifelong Republican, somebody I consider to be a friend, John Giles, who is proud to be a Republican, a John McCain Republican, as we heard, but who said that he would support Harris, Kamala Harris, because of the fact that he believes that the Republican Party, as evidenced by 2025, is not what he is accustomed to.
Richard Porter, do you think either of those issues are going to be election liabilities for the Republican Party?
No, the Republican platform is not the Project 2025. And what's interesting about the Republican platform is the extent to which Donald Trump himself edited it. He went through it twice, and the version that he approved is what was approved by the Republican Party. It's like 15 pages long, and it is right down the line Donald Trump. So if you want to see where Donald Trump's going to do and how he's going to govern, take a look at the platform, and I think it's, you know, it's going to hit on the issues we've been talking about, making the border secure, making our cities and streets safe, working on education and making sure that we're improving the education we have, and making America standing in the world strong again. And I think these are the issues that are ultimately going to drive the economy. Of course, the economy is going to be a key issue for the Republicans as well.
Do you feel like the Democrats did a better job at painting a fuller, a more complete picture of who Kamala Harris is today?
I think her husband did a great job in that regard. And I think that Michelle Obama was very moving. I think I give them both A's in this, and I think they really helped their cause. But I think the American people are very thirsty. They're very hungry for knowing more about who she is and how she's going to govern. And we get to have a say in that as well, because what her record is, what she actually did in the past, matters. You can't run away from that and pretend that the things you've stood for and the things you've done didn't happen or didn't exist.
Karen Freeman Wilson?
Well, joyful warrior. I don't think you can ask for a better definition of who she is. And they talked about it in the courtroom. They talked about it as attorney general for the people. And I think ultimately, when you hear somebody say Kamala Harris for the people, after hearing from all of these folks who have talked about knowing her for a lifetime, you have to believe that.
Heather, Amanda, coming to both of you, but separately. Amanda, briefly, we also heard from Senator Duckworth tonight, obviously from Governor Pritzker, but what did we hear from Senator Duckworth?
So we had spoken with Senator Duckworth, and we kind of knew that she was going to talk about her IVF journey, because that's something that I think the Democrats are finding really resonates with a lot of families. We talked about how abortion is part of the conversation, but connected with that, it's more. It's about reproductive health overall. And she said that her journey with fertility was even tougher than the battlefield that she fought on as a member of the armed services. So that was the focus.
It was, again, trying to bring, I think, the woman vote and really make the policies that they're talking about here connect with families.
All right. Thank you, Amanda. Heather, I did have another question for you, but I'll ask you tomorrow. That is our Spotlight Politics for the night. Thank you so much to Nick Blumberg, Heather Sharone, Amanda Vinicky, and our in-studio guests, Richard Porter and Karen Freeman-Wilson. Thanks, everybody. And that is our show tonight. Be sure to join us tomorrow at 5:30 and 10, or whenever the convention is over, for coverage of day 3 of the Democratic National Convention. And be sure to check out our website for the very latest convention coverage. And subscribe to our email newsletter, The Daily Chicagoan, at WTTW.com/newsletter. Now, for all of us here at Chicago Tonight, I'm Brandis Friedman. Thank you for watching. Stay healthy and safe, and have a good night.
Closed captioning is made possible by Robert A. Clifford and Clifford Law Offices, a personal injury law firm dedicated to preserving the dignity and rights of all individuals.